you. And there's no other name under heaven by which men and women and children can be saved other than the name that is above all names, Jesus Christ. So Jesus, thank you that you came to our rescue. And we thank you, God, for those here tonight who've yet to be rescued. So Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. How many of you have been rescued? I was on a leadership team in college, and we went to do what we called adventure recreation. And one of the things we were going to do was do a little bit of mountain climbing. And so we got all harnessed up, and we got ready to climb. And there was a girl in the group that was really cute, and she slipped and fell. And she was just hanging on. And the instructor told us all just to wait. He had to get something to help her. And so he left. And she was really cute. And it wasn't that far down, and I thought I could get her. That I could rescue her. And so I kind of reach over to the side. The next thing I know, I'm falling. And on my way down, there was really only one thing I could think of to grab to break my fall. And it was her. And then I needed to be rescued. And the instructor comes, he rescues her, he leaves me there for a little while to think about my attempted rescue. But I was thinking about that story this week, that nobody can rescue you except Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Paul was writing to this church, these Galatians. And he shares a few words in the opening, because every church has its issues. Every church has its struggles, and this church was no different. And he begins with an admonition. He says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And I look back, and I remember when I needed rescued. It seemed like many had written me off. Many have said it was too late. Many had said you went past the point of no return. Many said there's no more hope. But I'm going to tell you, as long as there's Jesus, there is a hope. And He alone is the only one who can rescue us. He's the only one. He was the only one that was without sin. And so He went to the cross in my place and in your place. And by doing that, He came to our rescue. And let me tell you what's amazing about the rescue. I did nothing to earn my rescue. I did nothing that would warrant God's time in sending His Son. You see, God didn't have to rescue me. And He would have no less been God. And He would have no less been magnificent. And He would have no less been glorious. He did not have to rescue me, but He did. He did not have to rescue you, but He did. Oh, church, I want to encourage us tonight that Jesus Christ, indeed, it is true, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what other stories are out there, it is true that Jesus was the Son of God, and that He laid down His life, that He died on the cross for the forgiveness of sin. And Paul's reminding these Galatians, he's reminding them that it is indeed Jesus Christ who came to your rescue. I don't know about you, but I got tired of trying to rescue myself. I got tired of trying this and trying that and nothing working. I got tired of that. And finally, after all those things, I came to my wit's end, and there was Jesus. Some of you are here and you share that story. You share that story of rescue. You share that story of being at the end of your rope, and then God, in His grace and His mercy, rescued you. But you know, one of the things I love about this gathering is that there are a lot of you here tonight, and you're still trying this, and you're still trying that, and you're getting to the end of the rope, you're getting to your wit's end, and you're wondering, is it too late? Have I gone too far? Am I past the point of no return? But I want to tell you, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance, the Bible says. And only Jesus can do that. So I want to encourage you, because you're not sitting around a group of people who have it all figured out. Amen? You're not sitting around a group of people who never screwed up. Amen? And you are not sitting around a group of people who at this point are just sitting there saying, wow, I did this great thing, because we didn't do it. It was Jesus who came to us. And here is the good news of the gospel. Because nobody here did anything to earn what Jesus did for us. Nobody. And the good news of the gospel is there's nothing you've done that would help you to earn salvation. It's not possible. I made the statement that every one of us, when we are born, we're on a road that is headed straight to hell. And when I say that, people don't like that. People don't like to talk about hell. People would rather believe it doesn't exist, that it's not there, and somebody inevitably gets upset that somebody's mentioned something about hell, and this person took issue with that and said, I've never been on a road headed to hell. And I said, you know what? You're on the road right now. You are on the road right now, because if you believe you can live your life good enough, that you've been good enough, that you can earn what God has, or you're so good you don't even need God, then you are in danger. Because the Bible says that God loved the world so much, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would have what? Eternal life. They wouldn't perish. I don't know if you've noticed the t-shirts a lot of people are wearing tonight. They say, got life. And obviously what we're talking about is eternal life with Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. Because as they were singing, I was thinking about my rescue. Because the truth is, every one of us have a physical life. But not all of us have eternal life. And every life is in need of a rescue. Every life. And only Jesus. Only Jesus. And I want to be real specific. Because people are okay with you talking about God, because that can relate to a lot of people. But I want to be specific. The God of whom I speak is the Father of Jesus Christ. And I want to be very specific about that, because there is no hope outside of Him. And let me tell you what's awesome about that. There is no hope outside of Him. And that means wherever you are. Did everybody hear that? Wherever you are, He can rescue you. He can rescue you. Some of you have heard about this thing called Godstock. You came, you've seen the t-shirts, you got life, and you've been wondering about that. You've been wondering, what does that mean? But I want you to know that this Jesus, He can reach you right where you are. And I don't want you to miss that. I don't want you to think that this is all good stuff for other people and for you to say, but I've done some really bad stuff. Nothing you've done is greater than what Jesus has done on the cross. And forgiveness is available. And we gather here on Friday and Saturday. We gather here just to simply share the story of the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something else about Jesus. In writing to the Philippians, this is what was said about Jesus. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. And the Bible says, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This Jesus, who did not have to rescue you or me, he didn't have to do it. But he humbled himself and he was obedient to his Father. And I want to tell you, and I believe this, that the only way you can be saved is if God is looking for you. Because you can look for God all you want, but the Bible says that we won't find Him until He's looking for us. And so some of you are in need of a rescue. And I want to encourage you tonight that you can be forgiven. The Bible says that when God forgives you, He takes your sin and He casts it as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers it no more. The Bible says when God forgives you, you are whiter than snow. And that means God forgives. And He is willing to come in, because what He forgives us from is a sin that's in our lives, and it is that sin from which we need to be rescued. And He will come in and He will rescue you and He'll forgive your sin and He'll wipe it all away. He can do that because He's God. Oh, church, I don't know if you're listening. I want to encourage those of us that are here and we have been rescued. You see, I was on the side of that mountain just hanging on. And the instructor, he had to do all kinds of stuff to come and rescue me, but he did it. And I don't know if you remember that spiritual place in your life when God came down and He touched you and He rescued you. How many of you tonight know that is absolutely real? That He did that. That He did that. You know why I want you to do that? For those of you that are here that have yet to be rescued, I want you to know it's real. And when God touches your life, it is changed forever. For it doesn't mean we stop struggling. Doesn't mean that our lives are perfect, but our lives are touched by God. And only He can do that. But He absolutely is willing to come to your rescue. I was visiting a college to speak to some students, and when I got there, they had a big mural painted on the wall. And it was a very odd mural that was painted. You see, on this mural, they had figures painted like Hitler. They had Charles Manson. They had all some of the most evil, wicked people you could think of. They were all on this mural and they were all bowing down to the cross. And I was confused by it. I was trying to figure it all out. And I finally had to ask somebody, hey, what's up with the painting? I'm not an art critic, you know, but I was a little concerned about what I was seeing. I said, somebody help me out here. What's going on? And they quoted out of what I just read to you in Philippians. And they said, well, you know, the Bible says that God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee would bow. Every knee would bow. And as I started thinking about that, you know what the deal is? I totally believe that Jesus is coming back again. I have no doubts about it. I'm not going to predict a date tonight. I'm not going to tell you when I think it is, because first of all, anybody who says when they think it is, they don't know what the Bible says, because the Bible says nobody knows. only Jesus doesn't even know. Only the Father knows. And when the Father's ready, He'll send the Son. And can I tell you something? Do you know why Jesus hasn't come back yet according to the Scriptures? You know why? It's God's kindness. Because every day Jesus doesn't come back is another day that God could come to your rescue. And so the very fact that Jesus hasn't come back yet is not because nobody's been able to call it. But it's because of the kindness and the mercy of God. That is His desire to save you, to come to your rescue, to forgive you of your sin. And so I was trying to figure this out. When Jesus comes back, every knee will bow. Throughout all the ages, every knee will bow. And there will be a day Hitler will bow his knee, but not because he's bowing it, but because God will bow it. God will bow His knee. But you know what? Until Jesus comes, you have the opportunity to bow your knee to Jesus Christ, to give Him your life. Because one day your knee will bow. And the question is, will your knee bow as you are being rescued? Or will your knee be bowed? Because the Bible says when Jesus comes, everybody's going to bow, whether you like it or not. I want you to hear that. Because Jesus will come to your rescue. He will save you. And the Bible says there's no other name under heaven by which people can be saved than the name of Jesus. And He is willing to do that. And then some of you are saying, well, that sounds great, Pastor, but you don't know all the junk in my life. Some of you are thinking, yeah, that sounds great probably for all these church people here, but y'all don't understand where I've been. I want you to know, I've been to a few churches, not a lot. And one of the things that I have found, especially in this gathering, is one thing that most of us have in common is that we were huge, gigantic sinners. Amen? And sometimes we saw that commonality until Jesus came. And you know what we share now? You know what we share now in common? We share the cross and the resurrection. We share the forgiveness and the mercy of God. We share the fact that we are not what we used to be. God saved us. He's forgiven us. And He is willing to forgive you. I want you to hear that message tonight. I had a good friend at another church I served at. Her name was Stephanie. And I got to meet this little eight-year-old boy who'd become very attached to her in her life. And I'll tell you the story. Stephanie was driving down the interstate very, very early in the morning, 3 or 4 in the morning, and she was the first car that came upon an accident. And there was an 18-wheeler that had been overturned, and there was a car on the side of the road that had just been crushed. And the first thing Stephanie did is she ran to the car, and she found a man and a woman, and they were already dead. She climbed up onto the 18-wheeler and was able to help the trucker, and it looked like he was going to be okay. But she saw some toys on the interstate. And she said it looked like maybe that the couple in the car had a child. And so she stood on top of the 18-wheeler and she looked all over. And it had been raining. And the median was just filled with water. And she was looking and looking. And finally, over across the way, she saw an arm sticking out of the water and nothing else. And she runs over and she lifts out of that water this little 8-year-old boy. And she saved his life. And the night that I had her come to our church and share her testimony, that little boy came. And the whole time that I looked at that little boy, all I could think about is there was a time in my life when all I had above the water was an arm. That was it. And if it was up to me, I was going to die. But because of Jesus, He came and He lifted me out of all of that and He saved me. And that whole night, as I looked at that little boy, all I could think about was how Jesus did that in my life. How Jesus did that in my life. How He saved me. How He came to my rescue. And I had no other hope except for Him. He was it. He was the only one. And even when He didn't have to do it, I'm repeating that a little bit, He did it anyway. To His own glory. To His own majesty. He saved me. And He forgave me. And He can do that for you. And I want to tell you, He's the only one that can do it. He is the only one who can do it. I want to encourage you, because I believe the words of the Bible. And I believe Paul was very specific when he used the word rescue. I think it was very intentional to describe our spiritual state, that we don't have any hope, that it really is coming down to a rescue. I was thinking of this Got Life. I was thinking that as we were singing that this world has nothing for me. And I want you to know I sang that. I believe that this world has nothing for me, but I constantly find myself liking a lot of stuff that's in the world. I constantly find that. But Paul said that Jesus would rescue us. And I want to issue a challenge tonight. I believe in a gathering this size, there are many of you here tonight that you've never turned your life over to Jesus Christ. And you know what would be really fun tonight? Is just have people stand up and start sharing about what Jesus has done in their life. But you know what? It would take us all the way for 2 or 3 weeks for that to happen. Because God is so good. And my challenge to you is this, that He will forgive you, He can forgive you, and He is willing to show His goodness, His kindness, and His mercy to you. And I would ask you tonight to trust Him. To trust Him. Some of you need to be baptized. And we make that a big deal at Hillview that you ought to be baptized. You know why we believe that? You know what I tell children when I talk to children? I always say, children, do you know why we should be baptized? Here's why. Because Jesus was. And in our lives, we are trying to be like Jesus. And so He asked us to do that. And we're going to have an incredible moment Sunday morning where many people are going to profess their faith in those baptismal waters at the beach Sunday morning. And there are many of you here tonight, and you know what? You just need to get obedient. You just need to get obedient and say, I'm going to trust the Lord in that. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to do what He wants me to do. And it's going to be real simple. We're going to make it really easy for you this weekend. We're going to have an altar call just here in a moment. And you can simply come to this altar and tell somebody, you know what? I know that I have a relationship with Jesus, but I've never been baptized. And let me help you. Biblical baptism is baptism after your conversion, after you've been saved, after Jesus has rescued. That's when you're supposed to get baptized as a believer. And so some of you, you just need to do that. Just get obedient. And my prayer tonight here is there are many of you who've yet to be rescued. And if you're like me, one thing that I try to do real hard is I try real hard to make everybody think that, man, my life's great. Yeah, my life's going great. Everything's going super. You know, we smile, we laugh, me and my wife, if we're on our way to church and we're yelling and screaming at each other on the way. Anybody ever do that? Because she's running late again, and I'm like, I can't believe you're late. We're trying to get to church to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to be late. And we get out of the car and say, hi. Hi. How are you? God bless you. Because I don't want people to know what a mess my life is. What a mess my life was without Jesus Christ. And there's some of you here tonight, you're trying to pretend like it's okay, but you and God know that it's not. And let me just tell you, I'm dumb, so if you fool me, you've accomplished nothing. But you can't fool God, because He knows the state of your life. And He knows what you need. And can I tell you why that's hopeful? Because not only does He know what you need, He is willing to meet your need. I want to ask you tonight, just to bow your head. If you're here tonight and you know that you do not have a relationship with Jesus, if you know that you've never turned your life over to God, you've never asked Him to forgive you, I want to pray with you tonight. Some of you said, I'm one of those ones. I'm acting like everything's okay, but my life's a mess. And I know that I need Jesus. I want to invite you to pray with me tonight. I want you to know, if you pray a prayer with me, a prayer cannot save you. Only Jesus can save you. But I want to share with you the prayer that I prayed when God impressed Himself upon me. When I knew that I needed Jesus in my life, I prayed this prayer, and you could pray it. I said, Lord Jesus, I believe that You're the Son of God. And I believe that You died on the cross and rose again 3 days later. And I believe that You can forgive my sin. And I ask You, Jesus, to forgive me. I ask You, Jesus, to help me. I ask You, Jesus, to come into my life. And I want you to know that He saved me. And my life, while it's not perfect, it's never been the same. My life has never been the same because of what Jesus has done. Because I think there are a lot of us here tonight, and we are that little boy with our hands sticking out of the water, desperate for somebody to come to our rescue. And I want you to know tonight that Jesus will come to your rescue, that He will save you. I want to pray, and we're going to open up this altar. And if you'd like to talk to somebody, we've got a team up here, and they would love to pray with you. If you're a child tonight, and you've heard this, and you've been hearing about this, and you know you need Jesus in your life, I invite you to come. There'll be people just coming to pray. And you know what? I love that. Because some of you are just going to come to pray, and it's going to give others the courage to come up here when they see you come to pray. So if you prayed tonight and invited Christ into your life, I want you to come up here tonight and tell one of us about it. Tell us that you did that. If you realize tonight that you've never been baptized, biblically baptized, and you need that, I want to invite you to come up here tonight and just share that with our team, and we'll talk to you about getting baptized Sunday morning. Or if you can't do Sunday, another time. But more than anything, I want you to be obedient to what God is speaking to you. I want you to be obedient. Because everybody look up for just a second. Because you know what I love about Stephanie's story? Is God used her in the rescue of that little boy. And I have found that God uses people. And He uses us to be part of that rescue story. And so He's calling us to be faithful. So how will you be a part of somebody else's rescue? Will you be faithful to love them? Will you be faithful to share with them? Will you be faithful to go to an uncomfortable place and look across the way? Jesus, we love You tonight. Jesus, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for the cross. We thank You for the resurrection. And we pray tonight, God, that You rescue people. We pray tonight that people would be saved. That people would finally realize that they can be forgiven. That they can be forgiven. That they can be healed. That they can have new life. That they can have abundant life. I pray that people would know that. I pray that people would be obedient in baptism. And more than anything, as we've prayed all day today, I pray that people would see You, Jesus, for who You really are. A God that comes to our rescue. I want us to stand together. Maybe you came with somebody that's not a believer. Maybe you're a little nervous about coming to the front. Grab your friend's hand who brought you and come to this altar tonight. But let's be faithful. So as they sing, this altar's open. I want to invite you to come.